From your minister, Meg Riley, Senior Minister, Church of the Larger Fellowship. In The Lanyard, one of my favorite poems by Billy Collins, he describes himself making a plastic lanyard to give to his mother. He details all of the gifts she has given him: the breath of life itself, flesh, bones, meals, a home, while he describes the clunky red and white plastic lanyard that he has made at camp to give to her. He finishes the poem by saying that, as a boy, he was sure that the lanyard, quote, would be enough to make us even, unquote. If you have internet access, you can watch Collins read this piece if you Google it. The poem makes us laugh, and it shows, using one concrete example, just how completely the decks are stacked against us when it comes to giving back or doing enough to thank the universe for all that we are given. What could possibly suffice as adequate exchange for mountains, oceans, sunsets, the northern lights, or for that matter, the almost unbearable sweetness of just one puppy or one human baby? We have done nothing to deserve these gifts, and there is nothing we can do to earn them. I think of receiving unearned blessings as one way to describe grace. And the only wholehearted response to such blessings is infinite gratitude. Whether our lives are blissful or miserable right now, support is coming to us from places we don't even know about. One year, I engaged in a Buddhist meditation practice in which every evening I considered who and what had sustained me that day and jotted down notes about it. I found it to be a reflection on infinity. For instance, I might think about my child's school. There were the teachers. There were the universities that trained the teachers with all of their aspects. There were the families and communities that sustained the school with all of their aspects. There were the taxpayers who sustained the school financially. There were the elected officials who made choices about how to pay attention to the needs of children. There were the people who took care of the building, who built the school, and who made the materials to build the school. There were the children themselves, and on and on and on. Digging into any of these aspects of just one elementary school could elicit a full page of writing, and I would barely have scratched the surface. And that school, of course, was just one part of my complicated life. My daily support comes from an infinite number of places. I engaged in that meditation practice during that awful year for us school-wise. Most kids have one, the year they look back on throughout their lives as the worst. I turned to this particular practice to sustain me during that time because I could feel myself getting bitter and closed-hearted. Meditating on all that sustained me made me see that no matter how negative the daily experience might be, it was still impossible to name, much less write down, all of the sustenance and support which came to me every day. Now, clearly, some of us are given much more daily support than others. We have privileges conferred on us that others do not. These should never be confused with grace. In fact, it is my experience that in the areas where I have more privilege, I'm likely to begin to believe that I have earned and actually deserved what is given to me. I begin to believe that the lanyards I've made entitled me not to just view the mountains and oceans, but to put a wall around them and claim them as my own. No one who has experienced even a moment of pure grace would believe that walling it off from others was possible or desirable. In fact, to do so is to make it abundantly clear that what you've experienced is not grace. Grace, by its very nature, cannot be owned. Trying to own it is the surest possible way to lose it. In Toni Morrison's book, Beloved, a slave woman who has suffered one of the most horrific lives which human beings can confer on each other, tells her community that the only grace they could have was the grace they could imagine, that if they could not see it, they would not have it. Morrison continues, "Here in this here place, we flesh, flesh that weeps, laughs, flesh that dances on bare feet in grass. Love it. Love it hard. Yonder, they do not love your flesh. They despise it. No more do they love the skin on your back. Yonder, they flay it. And oh, my people, they do not love your hands. Those they only use, tie, bind, chop off, and leave empty. Love your hands. Love them. Raise them up and kiss them. Touch others with them. Pat them together. Stroke them on your face because they don't love that either. You got to love it. You." We can't create or earn a state of grace. Nothing we can do will reliably cause us to experience it. We can't own it. No lanyard or anything else we create will ever be enough to make us even. But you got to love it, you, is good advice for all of us who seek to know grace. Whatever our circumstances today, there is grace to be remembered, grace to be imagined, and grace to be received.